Welcome to the Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast, a space for people with open hearts and minds who are on a journey of expanding consciousness. My name is Marta, and I will be sharing with you my conscious healing journey. Additionally, with my best friend Anna, we'll be exploring the great conscious transformation happening in the world. Join us on an adventure of learning the new ways of being and building bridges across the many concepts that truly need connection as we are building a better world for all beings. And let's learn together how to embrace our humanity with all of its ups and downs so that we can have as good life as possible. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the episode number 4 of Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast. My name is Marta.
And my name is Anna. And I'm back.
And you're back. Yes. There have been a couple of episodes that I have recorded alone.
And precisely luckily, a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, precisely a couple, a pair of them. And I am very happy to have you back, Anna. It's much more fun to do it together, I must admit.
Well, I have to give you props because I listened to the episode 2 and it was really, really touching and really moved something in me. So, by the way, highly recommendable, everyone. In the second episode, Marta is sharing her I don't even know if I can pronounce it correctly.
Fibromyalgia, I believe.
Thank you. Well, you had to learn. Yeah, you had to learn how to pronounce it. You had a podcast about this, an episode about this. So, yeah.
I actually hope that that's the way.
Well, people will get it from the episode description. But and they were the second one, meaning the other episode from the couple. I haven't managed to listen to yet, but I listened to the first one and. I think it was extremely important and meaningful that you did that. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it definitely takes something different to do something alone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You also have Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast that you're doing alone. Yeah. And we had a little conversation about it. We've been used to doing it together, right? We've done it together many, many times. And doing it alone is a completely different ballgame. Easier to schedule, though, isn't it?
Well, as you can see, Flowing with the Sky Clock hasn't had an episode in 3 weeks. So for me, it's actually easier to record our common podcasts because you and me, we have invitations, we have time schedule. And, you know, when you do it alone, you are like, I will do it later or I will do it tomorrow. And it never happens. But yeah, it's time for me to come back to Flowing with the Sky Clock. And I'm going to do it. But for you, it was easier to actually do your solo episodes.
Yeah, but maybe it was also just a period because you have been quite busy. You have started a new job and things have been very unstable for you.
Or I am unreliable person. That also could be.
You were managing several different calendars and I think it's objectively been difficult. However,
there was a weird energy in June.
Yes. I wanted to say that it's a very good, you know, it's like a very good way to circle around to what is this episode about. So today we will be talking about energy. So I am personally right now going through a form of a burnout and the next episode will be about that. I already recorded that episode. It will be the episode when I am talking about breakdown and burnout and what now. So I will be talking about it and these episodes go very closely together for me. Because today I wanted for the two of us together to talk about energy. What is energy? What is energy field? And how can we take care of our energies? How can we take care of our energy fields? Can we clear them?
Can we recharge them? Can we protect? Does it make any sense to protect our energies? So for me, that's an extremely important topic right now, because I have been feeling unusually low on energy for unusually low period of time, long period of time.
I think it's a low period. So, yeah. Okay. All good. All good. I got it. But I actually like that you mentioned low on energy, because I briefly, not deeply, but briefly researched the topic of energy as such. Although you are my lead and you hold my hand and you have the outline, at least I hope so, I was looking at the topics or angles you took in. And energy can mean so many different things. Because of course we have the scientifically approved types of energy, electromagnetic energy or electrical energy or magnetic energy or gravitational energy, and that's all fine. We also have this common way of saying, I'm low on my energy, I have no energy, or I have so much energy. And that's usually associated with what is your life vitality at the moment, right? So if you say, I'm low on energy, it means you're tired. That's usually the common understanding. If you are, I'm overly energetic, it means that, you know, you are ready to jump on 10 things and you feel a lot of excitement and so on. So there is also this common way of talking about energy as your current life vitality. How do you feel? Do you feel active, passive, tired, energetic, and so on? But there is also another realm for everyone at the back, realm. And that is more connected to esoteric and spiritual studies, right? So I am very curious, which avenue are we going to take today? I have some idea, but I will now give you the microphone, at least telepathically, through my energy field, because you have your own. And I will ask you, what was in your mind when you were thinking about this episode? What energy are we going to discuss? Because if it's gravitational, I'm out.
Yeah, out in what sense? If it's gravitational,
like, I have not much to say, meaning like I can tell you there is a gravitational energy on this planet and on other, you know what I mean. I'm not that great with the physics of all things, but tell me, Marta. Yeah.
So I completely agree with you, and we are not going to be talking about physics. We will be touching a little bit on quantum physics, because it mm-hmm. is very, very important that finally part of science is providing a proof that there is more than what we can touch and mm-hmm. see mm-hmm. and observe.
Not according to Wikipedia.
Okay. So maybe not even that. No, I do believe that quantum physics is finally expanding.
Yeah.
So it is expanding the science. However, I want to take it from a regular human life perspective. That is my angle point for this mm-hmm. episode, because we could do whole podcast just on energy, right? So yeah. The angle for today is we are two best friends. And we observe
there is the angle.
That's always the angle. Thanks, God.
I'm sorry. I re-listened our first episode and you said that like 6 or 7 times. And I was like, yeah, we are two best friends. But do we need to reconfirm it that much? Is there trouble in our friendship? So, yes, we are two best friends. For everyone who didn't notice.
For everyone who managed to forget. What I want to say is, like, we are humans. We are normal, regular humans on this planet Earth who notice that there is something unusual,
regular?
Something
really?
Regular. Okay. Also very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone is weird. Let's just.
Yeah. True.
What I mean is, I want to bring it down to Earth, and I want to expand a little bit for sure on the consciousness mm-hmm. Or the spiritual part of it, because simply because I am interested in those topics and you are as well. However, it's more about I am here right now on planet Earth, and there is something weird going on with energy. We can see that. We observe that with our friends. We observe that with our colleagues. There is an unusual amount of people that is going down with stress, with burnout, that is really, really struggling, feeling exhausted, feeling really low. Not only low on energy in terms of what you introduced, Anna, like exhausted, but also low vibration energy. We introduced that a little bit in the map of consciousness, that there are those different vibrations or frequencies. And the lower ones in the map of consciousness are the ones related to fear, to shame, to guilt. And this is like measured as low frequency. So that's simply what we are observing, right? We're also observing that there is extreme amount of fear energy that is being almost like, I have an impression as if there was something like pulsating the fear energy constantly. And it feels like, you know, these towers for a mobile signal that are like sending the...
Are we really going to 5G now?
No, not 5G. I am going to, you know, it's like we know that there are waves sent out for the radio, you know, to be able to operate, or for mobiles to be able to operate. I feel that something similar is happening with fear. And that, the way I feel it, and it's a very subjective, you know, it's a very subjective feeling in my own body, is that it's like an undercurrent that is there all the time. And I believe this has increased in our human experience around Corona times. There has suddenly been like a big increase in the amount of fear that has been perpetuated among humans. And there is a lot of discussion already that in media, there is, that media is living on fear. You know, the way all the stories are, the way the stories are shown, it's to awaken your deepest traumas, is to hit for your fear buttons and all that. So we know that that's not any conspiracy theory. It's how journalists are being trained these days, and this is how it's being abused. The true art of neutrality and really seeing everything from all the perspectives and being objective and neutral and seeing the as much truth and as possible, this art is disappearing. It's very difficult to find those kind of true journalists. You really, really have to try. It's a lot of going after those headlines that you just see the headlines and you are already like, you know, it's the way that videos are constructed. It's really going after awakening a lot of fear. So this is the perspective.
Go ahead. That's a very happy perspective, I would say. No, but that's okay. That's totally correct. And I think that, you know, we could say, is it just something that has to unravel, or is it something that is done consciously to us as humanity? And you can choose any avenue, but the kind of the final thought will be the same, regardless if this is conscious effort to keep us in this low energy, or is it just the way the times are? Are there still ways to not to succumb to this, right? Are there still ways that we can not only protect ourselves from it, but actually maybe strike back, you know? Just like, of course, in a very peaceful and loving manner. And I mean by this, you know, with a positive energy. Can we do something about this? And I think this is a very fascinating topic. And this is a topic that I actually have been exploring for the past couple of years. It's not great out there, guys and girls and gals and everyone else. It's not great. And I think some people feel it more than others. Some people are more aware than others. I think everyone is affected to a certain degree by what's going on. But there are also people like, for example, the lady on the other side with her microphone, who I believe you are actually very sensitive to that energy. I think I mentioned several times that you are like a barometer, that you actually can sense it. Because, for example, as a conscious beings who can hopefully read or not, you know, that's not a judgment. It's enough to start to, you know, go through the newspapers, through the news, and stumble upon a couple of conversations, even of people that you know, who will just tell you, you know, the war is coming, this is coming, this is coming. And yeah, it's normal to feel anxious. But I know for a fact that there were several times in the past 5 years when you consciously disconnected from the news. You are not necessarily a person that is tracking the news. You don't have an interest to see, okay, what conflict do we have this week? And yet you could feel the energy, the negative energy that was spreading basically like an ocean over the planet. And that's an interesting thing, which probably circles back slightly to the concept of actually what is energy? How do we feel it? How do we work with it? Because I believe it's very, very interesting that you could feel it and you were affected by it without feeding yourself with the headlines and news.
Definitely.
That's a long break.
Yeah, that's a long break because I just now saw that my recording is not using the microphone that I have. It's using the internal microphone from my computer. So now talking a little bit about the energy, our recording might not work. It might be a low, it might be a low quality recording. Well, we'll have to see, but let's go with it.
Yeah. Listen, Riverside, which is actually the, and we are not sponsored like at all. We have a free version for poor people, okay? They promise that you can have a studio quality without a special equipment. So let's see. Let's see how this will turned out to be Riverside.
That was my challenge because I have this amazing microphone and I'm speaking to it and suddenly I get this prompt that it's using the internal microphone instead for some reason and I cannot switch it. We'll see. We will see. So we'll that see. Was the reason for the break.
It's a weird energy.
Yeah, I have been noticing that in the last few years that my system works a little bit like a barometer, and it can be both related to feeling what's going on with people directly with me, like, for example, my family, or with people at work, or with people I am connected with, even if we are not together, as well as like a general feeling. And the more awareness around it has started to come by how different I feel the energy in different places in the world. So traveling to different countries, the way I feel energy in Denmark, the way I feel energy in Poland, the way I feel it in Croatia, the way I feel it in California, that has helped me to realize that indeed I have some ability to feel like to pick up on a general feeling somewhere as well. It's not very fine-tuned to the level of that I can clearly understand and clearly describe it. However, it does have impact on how I feel. Now coming back to the more down-to-earth human experience. So I have honestly been feeling really shitty a lot of the time for
a
few years.
Thank you for a full disclosure.
Yes. And I would like to change it. That's kind of like would be nice not to feel this
idea.
Way. I've been working with my own energy and I just made a list of the things where my energy is going. So you can think about it like, okay, I'm feeling shitty. It's like making an energy inventory. So where is your energy going? It's the first place. Like just write down for yourself. Mm-hmm. Where are you using your energy? And kind of like where you can feel that your energy is either like you're giving it or it's suppressed or it's simply used. It's at work. And then you can also definitely state all the places where you can feel that you are receiving energy from. I have definitely a lot of energy tied up in suppressed emotions. So that is the work that I have been doing recently. And I can feel it in my body. I have a lot of anger, frustration, a lot of sadness, a lot of hopelessness, helplessness that is like suppressed and stored in my body. So I am working with it, and we can talk a little bit about how to work with it later. The second place where a lot of my energy is being used is on trauma. So I've been going through my conscious healing journey, and it's both physical, it's also emotional, mental trauma, but there is a lot of energy stored in my physical body, in my energy system related to trauma. There is definitely a lot of it being used in relations with people. This is a little bit easier because that's the place where you can both give and receive energy. And if you're not conscious with it, you can really, really overuse your energy. If you don't have a two-way street, if it's not the reciprocity, giving, receiving, but you're giving too much of yourself, then you can definitely, you know, just simply be very low on energy. We spoke about this part of being an empath or being a barometer. So a lot of energy goes there as well. I also feel like the state of world affairs, you know, if there are huge wars in the world, if there is a lot of people suffering, most of us humans, we feel it. It's simply impossible to be okay with living in the part of the world where we throw away tons and tons of food and there are children starving on the other side of the world. You know, it's impossible not to more or less consciously. And some of us more, some of us less. However, definitely this state of affairs in the world and the way the Mother Earth is feeling, I believe for most of us, we feel it. We might not be aware of it. We might be trying to disconnect from it. However, my feeling is that for many, many people, we are using energy there for sure. So I mentioned also this feeling of constant like bombardment or pulsating of the fear energy from like media, even though I try not to engage too much. Another place where we as humans, and maybe more women than men, I don't know for sure, when we say yes in the time when we mean no. So we agree to do something, even though we have internal response of a no. Ah, it's just one more little task at work, you know. Ah, I'm just going to agree to do it. Oh, it's just one more little task at home. You know, I'm tired, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's just that. Another place is doing work we don't believe in. So if we are working for companies or doing types of jobs or doing types of assignments we don't believe in, that's where we give away much more energy than we get. And that's something you can quite easily observe for yourself. If you just make a simple note of all the tasks that you're doing at work, which of them give you energy and which of them take away your energy. And you can clearly see that balance sheet. You know, you can quite easily get to that. Then the other place
of balance.
Balance sheets, right?
Yes, it's a balance sheet. And I actually had even a different thought. But okay, continue.
Yeah.
With your sheets of balance.
Yes. The other place where I can definitely feel I'm still using quite a lot of energy is to take on a specific mask or not being fully myself in certain circumstances. So I do believe that depending on work we do, families we are in, if we cannot feel fully safe, if we cannot feel ourselves, if we cannot, or if I've been thinking about it, like, why can't I just be myself at work, right? Like, what the hell? I can be so brave. I can be so courageous. You know, I can be myself. But if it feels like you're going for a war to be yourself, you're still using energy, right? So one thing is when you choose not to be yourself because feeling like you have to like, oh my God, I have to like dig so deep down for the levels of courage to be myself, you're still using mm-hmm. energy, right? So I believe there is also a lot related to the to what we consume in terms of food, what we eat, what we drink, and the, all the amounts of toxins and all that stuff. We are not going to get into that, as well as, you know, mentally what we are consuming, what sort of information mm-hmm. we are consuming. And that's a very simple principle, shit in, shit out. You know, if we are consuming a lot of toxic information, toxic food, toxic drinks, it does have an impact on our energy bodies. And there is also, of course, what we focus on expands. So if we are focusing on a lot of negativity, a lot of difficulty, a lot of low frequency energy, that expands. A lot of energy goes, in my case, into controlling and resisting. That's definitely an area. And you can already see, why is she tired? She cannot even stop her list from going on and on. It's so much place. Yes, controlling.
I don't know how much of the energy do you actually have, because this is like a massive list. I'm like, I could maybe say 3 things, 4 if I'm lucky. Okay, yes. No wonder you are exhausted, Marta.
So my maybe goodness. Overthinking.
Maybe.
Overthinking. Maybe. However,
maybe list creation must take some energy from you. Come on. Yes. How many lists do you have?
No, I don't have that many, but I was preparing for that, you know, for that episode. So this,
okay.
And like being honest with myself, where does my energy go? You know, doing this energy mm-hmm. inventory so that I can start changing something. So controlling humans, we feel that if we can control situations, if we can control people, if we can control stuff, we think it's gonna be better. It's not. And we are using a lot of energy for it. So, yeah, then resisting change, resisting whatever, you know, the shit that is happening and all that stuff. Oh, mm-hmm. I have my next point, overthinking and worrying.
And the list just keeps on going. Whoa.
We are coming to an end. There are just three tiny little things. Unresolved mm-hmm. circles of action. That means when we start projects, when we start assignments and we leave them be in the middle, there, I believe there is some energy tied to it that it's really important to close things off. And sometimes it is important just to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm closing it, not necessarily finishing or completing, but saying it's over, not keeping it. So mm-hmm. it's a big topic in of itself, this unresolved circles of action. The next one is keeping ourselves small. So that's the, when you are, it's actually, you know, the ego stuff. When you are either mm-hmm. keeping yourself small or you're making yourself bigger than you are from the, you know, ego perspective, that uses energy. And the last one, I promise, and it's a big one as well, but we are just going to touch upon that. It's attachments and addictions.
Okay.
Yes.
And you have you are using your energy on all of those things.
That's what I discovered. Yes. That's okay. I came to places, you know, like burnout, exhaustion, you know, like I can't work anymore. I am barely like crawling out of bed. There must be something. And there is something.
Yeah, there is something. Dear listeners, if you have any idea why Marta has a low energy, could you please drop us a message or an email and solve this mystery? Because obviously it is a grand mystery. Good job, though, because I think, first of all, I think you spend a lot of energy on that list because it's massive, but it's very introspective. And I think it's also... you know, of course, I'm making fun because it was just keep on coming. And those were all relatively heavy things. But I also think that I probably also have majority of those things in the list, but it is unconscious. So I am not consciously aware that my energy goes there. That also can be an option. I remember... on the last women's circle here in Randboldale, I actually made and I would like to say made, but I played the audio of the energy clearing ritual. And I remember how the woman was guiding us to revisit, because that's also another thing, although it could be connected with the things on your list. Think about in what places is your energy presently laying, like scattered. Can it be also with, let's say, an ex-relationship that did not work out? You are still thinking, obsessing about your ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, and so on. Maybe it's something that happened in a past that you are just so attached to it, you know, and you still in a way torture yourself, because one thing is to meet this in a way with an intention of healing that, and another one is torturing yourself with that topic and coming back to it. And your energy can be actually placed with different people from the past, from the present. Your energy can be also placed in a future when you are so much hung up on a certain result and you basically start to almost obsess about a certain outcome in your life, then you can meet a lot of disappointment. And, you know, then we can come back to the whole Zen, live in a present, because if you live in a past or if you live in a present, then your energy is placed actually there. And it's not here, that can be very exhausting. And in that ritual that she guided us, you know, where to look for that displaced scatter energy, where is it? And then we had like a nice ritual to kind of bring it back. But she also mentioned that if there is not many things that come to your mind, it doesn't matter, because you can also not necessarily know, but you can try to still call back your energy to your body. And that is the indication of something that I mentioned just a moment ago. There is a lot of unconscious places where our energy is stuck and we don't have it within us. And actually, that's okay if you are trying to make a basic ritual, because you will still call it back. You might not know it, where it is, almost like, I don't know, with a cat that got lost. You don't know where the cat is, but you call it and it comes. I'm sorry, my cat got lost and found, thank God. So this is the best example I could give you, because I had a lot of energy there. Oh, that's a good example. For the past 2 days, I was worried and thinking about my cat. And that, in a way, that took so much energy from me that I wasn't really able to focus on other things. That's the point of, you know, this energy placement with something that is maybe in a way obsessive or worried, that it basically clouds your entire existence, because you're placing your main focus and your energy on something. And then you wake up in the morning, you cannot find joy in anything, because you have to, or you think about something that is really difficult for you. Everything that you said about, you know, being true to yourself, when you have to wear a mask, I actually will tie it up with the imposter syndrome. That's a topic I was lately looking at. I read some data that there is an estimation that 50% of your time at work you will spend at hiding who you really are. 50% of your energy, instead of, you know, just going and rocking this project or process, however weirdly that sounds, you will actually have 50% of your energy focused on pretending you're someone else than you are. Imagine, you can release 50% and be probably, you know, happy and achieve things. But no, that actually is something you constantly think about. You place your energy on being someone else in eyes of others. And of course, then the fear comes in. What if they will discover that I'm actually not like my mask is, you know? What will happen if they will know? What will be the consequences? So you have like, you know, add-on on an add-on on an add-on, and it's exhausting, you know? So that's my comment to your kick-ass list, kick-ass long list, your list.
Yeah, so
your
energy...
sheets of balance.
Yeah, energy inventory. It has a... It has a name.
Yeah.
Energy inventory. So that's one way, you know, that's to begin. So if you're feeling tired, exhausted, you're feeling low on energy, however you describe it, one way is to simply see where is my energy going. And then, of course, my list is many of these areas can have its own, like its own balance sheet, like I mentioned with work, right? How much are you, what is the balance between giving and receiving at work? What is the balance of giving and receiving in the relations that you have with your family, with your friends, with your boss, you know, whoever that is? So you can start there. You do that list and you see, okay, maybe you get a lot shorter list than me, hopefully.
Hopefully.
then the next step is, okay, so what do I do about it? So you can look at your list and which areas can you pretty easily improve? Which areas you can pretty easily optimize? There will definitely be some areas that will be easier than others. You know, if you have trauma, that's probably a little bit more difficult than optimizing tasks at work. So, you know, there
you
are.
Think?
I think so. And people in your life, your parents, your children, your partners, the ones from the past, the ones you have right now, there is a lot of energy in every single relation. So there can be work done on every single relation you have to see if that relation is actually a two-way street. We might go into that as a topic on its own, like how do you work with energy in relationships in general, because I can see we are quite well advanced in our podcast already. I have noted
maybe it's going to be a two-parter. Who knows?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm not seeing we will have much time to talk about the possibilities that I thought could be also interesting and the parts that you are very interested in, like attachments and energies from other realms. I think it is worthwhile giving it proper attention and a proper amount of time. So let's stay on the more down-to-earth human level in this episode, and we can do another episode with other dimensions of energy. So I
deal.
Was like, you agree?
Deal. Yes,
yeah,
I
okay.
agree. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I've got all that stuff going on. I am also working a lot with my energy. So it's the inventory is what I'm already consciously aware of. That means that believe it or not, but it took me like 5 minutes to write the list. I did not spend hours. It's, sorry. It is really
just there.
What I am. Yeah. I am consciously aware of that. So what do I do? Like, how do I work with my energy? So one part of it is clearing and detoxify. Do you say detoxing or detoxifying? What is the?
Detox. Detox is the noun. Detoxification is the verb I get. Detoxifying.
Yeah, okay. We do detox.
Yeah. Detox. We do the detox. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really sorry. There is something also energetically stuck in my throat. Apparently. No. So clearing energy. Clearing energy. And detoxing. I will give you the list first and then we will see which areas we have the time to expand. Second thing is releasing. So releasing stuck energy, that's very much on a physical level, releasing emotions, releasing trauma. That can be very easily done with movement, or not so, not always so easily. One of the ways is to do it with movement. Another thing is to actually recharge, to give yourself time to fully relax and recharge. Other thing to work with energy is integrating. So if it is, if these are emotions that have been stuck, I don't know if I have mentioned that, but my belief is that emotions are energy in motion and you cannot actually like get rid of energy. You cannot get rid of emotions. So you can only transform or transmute the energy. So you cannot really think about it. I release it and it like magically disappears. if you do release something, you either need to work on integrating it or transforming that energy into a higher level vibration. That's how I currently perceive it. Another thing that I do sometimes, I'm very, very much working with it right now and my understanding and when does it serve me, when does it not serve me, is energy protection and setting boundaries, because they are quite quite related. Another way for me to work with energy is to move through energy. So if there is an energy state, let's say you have an emotion. Emotion is something that takes naturally about 90 seconds. And biologically, an emotion is something that lasts up to 90 seconds. And after 90 seconds, you should like process it and that's it. So if you are a fully healthy human being, after 90 seconds, you're done with an emotion. Yeah, that's what I learned in neuroscience from a whole brain living a book that I have recently read by a doctor in neuroscience. So
can I ask a question? Just also for our listeners, what do we define as an emotion?
So emotion because, is this. It's this biological response to a stimuli. So that is what we call an emotion. It's a biological response to a stimuli. It's very, very natural. It's something that all humans and many other beings go through. So it could be fear, could be anger, could be sadness, could be love. So this is the basic emotions that, let's stick to humans, that we go through. And if we get that emotion, 90 seconds, we can be naturally done with it. So if we are healthy and let's say there is a stimuli of anger, someone crossed our boundaries, we can feel that. And after whatever happens, it was a very interesting statement. Whatever happens after 90 minutes is a choice. But I'm not
90 minutes or 90 seconds?
90 seconds.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, how can you love someone for 90 seconds then?
So that's a feeling. And love is, again, okay, we could spend a very long time here on definitions. What is defined as an emotion and what is defined as a feeling? So emotion is the short-term state. And love can be an emotion and it can be a feeling when you look at the definitions. And the definitions are kind of, you know, they are not great. They are different ones, differently categorized. So it's also a little bit of a fake, you know, trying to put something in boxes that is not easy to put in boxes, but that's how modern science often works, right? We try to put something in boxes.
It kind of makes sense if you would look at it from this point of view. Let's say you feel the fear because of some, I don't know, a guy shows up at your kitchen window out of nowhere. And then in 90 seconds, the fear should be gone because let's say he's not trying to break in with a knife, because then I would assume that fear should last more than 90 seconds. We are talking about one impulse, one kind of situation, if I assume correctly. But then if you realize that this is a garbage truck guy and he just passed by or whatever, or your neighbor waving to you hello, then within 90 seconds you should be out of the fear state, and that should be done. So that's how I understand it. And then maybe if you are dysregulated, although it turned out to be your neighbor and he waved to you and you waved back, but you still cannot stop your heart from beating fast and still cannot get yourself out from that emotion of fear, it turns into a feeling of fear that can last for longer. So I could actually see that it could be, you know, you could say it's a decision that, you know, after 90 seconds, those emotions can turn into feelings or a long-lasting feelings. That's how I'm trying to, you know, without knowing the theory, I'm trying to make sense out of it. Does it make any sense to you?
So that is precisely for emotion from the time the stimuli is over. So like you say, a very good example. So there was a guy and you realize it's a neighbor. So you are no longer in fear, hopefully
in danger,
you don't have in danger. Hopefully you don't have very, very dangerous neighbors. Because then the theory stops working. However, from the moment the stimuli is over, biologically, that's what science says, and I'm not, you know, that's just a theory that I'm bringing here. Mm-hmm. After 90 mm-hmm. seconds, emotion, that's how much body needs to process the emotion. Then mm-hmm. what makes sense to me is if after that you cannot calm down, it's a feeling. If it mm-hmm. lasts for a long time, it turns into a state. So mm-hmm. Emotional state, you can call it, or a feeling state. Yeah. And if it lasts for a very, very long time, it becomes a mood. And if you stay in it for an extremely long time, it becomes mm-hmm. a part of your personality. So, for example, if we trace a moment of sadness, let's say someone died. It's a very sudden emotion.
I'm using
an extreme. Yes. It's a very sudden emotion.
I can see that. Yeah. I used a friendly neighbor. Okay. let's go with that. I'm fine with that.
If it is someone you don't really know, if you just saw a commercial, maybe that's the commercial.
Okay, you saw a commercial of someone dying because that's what we see.
That's we actually do. Actually people are using.
Yeah, okay. True. Now with the war and stuff, you actually do see commercials with people dying. Oh my God. Yeah. That's horrible times now.
Yes. So mm-hmm. let's say it's something like that. It is possible. I think this gives you an idea that you can choose after mm-hmm. 90 seconds to process that emotion of sadness, the natural human reaction to a traumatic experience happening to another human. You might not be able to shake it off very easily because let's say you have a trauma that is underneath that. Mm-hmm. You have lost someone close to you and that association triggers your trauma. So you stay in that feeling. So, mm-hmm. so that's how it turns into feeling. Let's say that you have lost someone close to you and you are grieving so long. The sadness of losing someone lasts so long. You are unable to move through that grief. So it changes mm-hmm. into a mood. And after a while, you become depressed. So this is how it changes from an emotion to a feeling, to a mood, to a state. And some people get so locked that it becomes part of their personality. They have not been mm-hmm. able to move through that kind of a loss, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Whether some people are able yeah. to live with that and somehow move forward and it does not become part of their personality. It's something that comes and, you know, flows, you know, back and forth. Mm-hmm. They can feel that wave of sadness or wave of grief and it doesn't become they don't become depressive people. So that's how I believe it works. But
I will just add one more thing mm-hmm. to this theory with the commercial of dying people, however this sounds. I realized that there is also a possibility when one emotion will lead you to a second emotion and a completely different feeling, or from an emotion of one type, you will jump into a different feeling. Example, you see the dying people commercial. I cannot believe I'm saying this words out loud. You get very sad. And after 90 seconds, all you feel is anger. So you didn't jump from sad to sadness. You jumped from sadness to anger because it angers you what's going on in this world. So that what I also just realized and just wanted to throw there just for the sake of.
Yeah, and absolutely, absolutely. And if you are watching a lot of that kind of, let's mm-hmm. maybe not call it commercial, a lot of that kind of news, or I don't even know what do you call that when it's this kind of short videos that are there to convince you to contribute with money or, you know, I don't even know what you call them. Do you know?
Yeah, those are ads. Yeah ads on YouTube. And and now they can be anything. And I know that I precisely understood what you meant because it was the ad when they are trying to convince you to help people out. And they use the most... triggering images, unfortunately. I understand why, but but it's very triggering. I cannot watch this. I skip over and I cannot contribute because I will never learn what to do, how to send it, because I just cannot see, you know, a small baby crying, you know, in some gravel after explosion. I'm sorry, I cannot. It's beyond my capacity of taking this in. So for those who are constructing those commercials, advertisements, it doesn't work for many of us. We skip through it.
Yeah, and here are two things that I would like to notice. First of all, I believe that it still impacts us, even just this first image, even if we want to skip through it, it still impacts us. So our energy is still being engaged, and that has an impact on us. So a lot of our energy can be used, even though we only saw a few seconds. So that is like, you know, that's precisely. So if you meet a lot of that in your TV, in your YouTube, in your Facebook, in your whatever sort of medias you are using, and then someone tells you about it, and then people talk at work, and then there is this war and that war, that can be a lot of energy. That can be a lot of energy on these very, very difficult things that are happening in the world. So just wanted to kind of like bring it here. So working with emotions, learning how to move through it, not avoid it, because you cannot really avoid parts of yourself. If something already comes to your energy field, you are not going to be able to avoid it, I believe, because it's an energy stimuli. Energy does not disappear. It can only be transformed. So I am thinking about it more from the sense of moving through energy. And and also the way I am thinking about a lot right now, just one last thing for the ways to work with your energy is taking back your power and responsibility. That's the area where I believe a lot of energy is also to be, you know, lost as well as gained back, is when we are using our, when we are giving away a lot of our power, a lot of our responsibility. And I believe, Anna, we would like to make a whole episode at one point around responsibility and power, right? There is, that's an important topic for both of us. So we are not going to go into that one. And I can see we are, this episode is already quite long.
And so we have almost arrived,
Yeah, so we have almost arrived. So definitely it's like an introduction to working with your energy. And it's definitely...
And to Marta's sheets of balance.
Yes. And definitely a very good introduction to energy inventory and to some of the ways that you can work with energy. And I would like to ask you, Anna, if there is anything you would like to, you know, finish with, if any of the... of the ways of working, just to give something. You gave a good example for energy clearing with a meditation, energy clearing meditation and ritual. So you have already contributed as one of the ways for energy clearing. Is there something more you would like to leave our listeners with for the ways of working with energy? And if not, that's fine.
Hope for the next episode. That's what I want to leave our listeners with. I think that if I would enter into something, it will take a little bit longer. And today we have a limited time, but I'm actually considering that this might be a three-parter, not a two-parter, because I see the original outline and we have fascinating topics of energy protection, energy cleaning, recharging. We have auras, we have energy fields. This is gonna be fun. So I think we will just continue this discussion in the next episode, or maybe the episode after that, because you have something you have pre-recorded already. So I would like to say to our listeners, stay tuned for that. It's gonna happen somewhere in July for sure, probably the second week of July max. And that's going to be all from my side. And thank you for introducing us to the energy inventory and your sheet of bills or sheet of balances. Because I think it made me think. Maybe I will try it out for myself. I think it's a very useful tool. At least it gives you some sort of awareness or where you are. So thank you for that, Marta. And thank you, our dear listeners, for having yet again enough patience and the resistance and resilience to go with us on this journey. And I hope that we are at least making it a bit fun from time to time.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Anna, for introducing bills, because that's also definitely where the energy can go.
That's a new one. That's a new one.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are also, hold on, energy bills. Huh?
Hmm? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for today. And until next time. Bye.
Until next time. Bye-bye. Myślę, że dobrze poszło. Zobaczymy. Bo teraz...